Enjoy fun adventures as you sail away together and experience the extraordinary marriage you desire. Join us in April 2025 for the Six Pillars at Sea Marriage Getaway. Yes, we are taking Six Pillars cruising and we want you to join us. Get all the details at oneextraordinarymarriage.com/getaway. Use promo code SHIPSAHOY to get $500 off your registration today. We'll see you there.
From San Diego, California, this is a One Extraordinary Marriage show, where being busy is overdone, romancing is fun, and scheduling sex has taken the guesswork out of wondering when you're going to get some. I'm Tony DeLorenzo, your co-host, along with my beautiful wife, Elisa. From coast to coast and around the world, thank you for joining us. It's time to talk sex, love, and commitment. Give us a call or text us on the Hug Hotline at 858-876-5663 or send us an email to hugs@oneextraordinarymarriage.com. In today's episode, we're sharing how you can make your own rules when it comes to scheduling sex, aka the intimacy lifestyle.
And Barbara Corcoran had this fabulous quote about rules. She says, "It's your game. Make up your own rules."
Mm-hmm.
And if I could just adjust that ever so slightly, I would say, "It's your marriage. Come together to make your own rules." So we'll be talking about that in today's episode. But first, we start every episode with a hug. And a hug is really an opportunity for us to celebrate you, for us That's to celebrate right. the breakthroughs in your marriage. And this hug comes from a Facebook post that says, "A marriage worth having is a marriage worth working for. Bonus if you get to do some of that work with a fabulous backdrop. My husband and I just returned from another great marriage retreat with Elisa DiLorenzo and her husband, Tony, author of The Six Pillars of Intimacy. We attended last year's event needing the experience and with the huge positive impact signed up for this one without hesitation."
Mm.
I love that. I love that. I love seeing couples just go, you know what? One, if it's worth having, it's worth working for.
Yep.
And we're going to take time and we're going to invest in ourselves and in each other. And so super excited that this couple joined us and has joined us now for 2 years at the Six Pillars Marriage Getaway.
Yep. Hey, and if you want to join us and 30 amazing couples from the One Family, we'd love to have you join us for the Six Pillars at Sea Marriage Getaway coming up in April 2025. You can learn all about it at oneextraordinarymarriage.com/getaway.
Mm, so good. As Tony said at the very top of this episode, we're talking about making your own rules when it comes to scheduling sex. And the premise or the idea for this episode actually came, we were having lunch a few weeks ago with another couple from the One Family, and we started having a conversation about scheduling sex, the intimacy lifestyle. And this question came up about initiating, and I'm just going to paraphrase it, but the wife had said, "I've heard you both say that it's important for each spouse to take turns initiating so that both can feel desired. In our marriage, that's different. My husband is happy to always be the one to initiate, especially if I am always or almost always a yes. Having to initiate makes me feel pressured. Why is that such an absolute thing?" And it was such a great conversation, you guys, because we got into this place talking about tools and guidelines and what works for each marriage. And it really got Tony and I thinking about the journey that we've been on ever since episode 140,
mm-hmm.
Which was the very first time we talked about the intimacy lifestyle. It's episode 140. It's called Scheduling Sex. But the whole premise for how we even got into the intimacy lifestyle was that we had spent years, plural, over a decade, years, with our marriage being really dysfunctional, especially around the sexual intimacy pillar. And it was to this point where I didn't initiate. Like, I mean, if you've heard some of the stories over the years, it was like birthday and maybe like Tony's birthday and maybe like one other time over the course.
Anniversary, maybe?
I don't even know that I was always the one to initiate on our anniversary. Like, I would love to be.
I know birthday for sure.
Birthday's the only one that I can say for sure in 365 days that I would definitely initiate on your birthday.
Yeah. Like, and even then, it was sort of like, I knew it was coming.
Well, right, because it was your birthday, right? Like, that was going to happen. And rejection was a really big factor in our marriage. There were definitely, on my part, there were definitely more no's than yeses over all of those years. And when we engaged in the 60-Day Sex Challenge, which is episode one, if you haven't listened to that, one of the things that really came out of that experience was this idea, was this conversation, multiple conversations around the fact that my lack of initiating, coupled with all of the times that I would say no and reject Tony led him to feeling undesired, unwanted, and in all honesty, in a lot of pain. Right.
Yeah. I mean, last week we talked about emotional rejection. We've talked about sexual rejection. And so that pain that we feel when we are rejected, I mean, just think either of those cases. And even when it comes to looking at like our sexual intimacy, you know, the emotional rejection can happen just in that form. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When we're asking like, hey, do you want to have some fun tonight? Do you want to get sexy tonight? Whatever it may be. And there's a quick no, or even just the nonverbal communication there. Or it could be even just the, we're in bed and you're making like those little hand moves and you know, there are no words or anything, but it's the cold shoulder that we would feel. And I would feel that for so many years. And so when we're looking at our intimacy lifestyle or setting up scheduling sex for the first time for us, and for me in particular, and I'll say this, for me, it was really, I remember the conversation with Elisa when we were having this and saying, I want to, as your husband, and this can go either way, right? I think it's more the spouse who has that higher desire, mm-hmm. like is sexual desire. So that could be the wife or the husband. We're the ones who are always pursuing. And in this moment, when we were setting this up, I really remember just sharing with Elisa, like, I want to know that you want me. And I truly believe those are the words I said, because it was just like, I'm not saying it has to be overt or crazier the way I would do it, but I need to know at some point in time that you do desire to be with me. And that's just me. And it may not be you, like that mm-hmm. doesn't matter to you. But to me, in our marriage and having gone through so much sexual rejection, I wanted to feel that. And again, it had to be in Elisa's own way. And we've had to work through that over the years. I wasn't trying to make her somebody who she wasn't. But for us, and for me in particular, that was an important part of us setting up our intimacy lifestyle.
Absolutely. Because like I said, it had been years of a combination of Tony always being and having to be the pursuer and me not being like an actual willing partner. Mm-hmm. I would be a partner, but not willing. Not like, okay, honey, if you're going to initiate, like I'm going to be a sure thing because like I'm not comfortable initiating. But if you initiate, like I'm down with it. We will do this. I will go get changed. I will do the things and you'll know. Right. Which I think is very much what this, when we were sitting down with this couple, like that's their dynamic.
Right.
And I love hearing that, because if that's your dynamic, then run with it. But for a lot of couples, that's not the dynamic. And there's not a lot of conversation around sexual intimacy, which means that there's often a lot of fights mm-hmm. about what's happening in your marriage when it comes to this. It can become a tug of war. And so being in this place of saying, okay, what does it look like to create a strong sexual intimacy pillar in your marriage? What does it look like to create the intimacy lifestyle for the two of you? And I know Tony and I say this a lot, but we're going to say it again. You do not have to be clones of Tony and Elisa. You don't have to do everything the exact same way that we do it. In fact, we actually get really excited when you tell us that you've taken any of the tools that we've talked about in the last 14 years and you've molded it, you've adjusted it, you've revamped it to be yours.
Take the 6 pillars of intimacy framework, look at each of those pillars, and make them yours. We're your guides. We're here along for the journey. I think I said this last week or the week before, like on a trail or when I was doing a lot of like mountaineering, there were guides, they were ahead of us to show us the way. But we would have to do our own thing, especially when I was rock climbing. I didn't take the exact same line the guide took. I took the line that was best for me, but he or she showed me where we were going. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing when we're talking about the intimacy lifestyle or scheduling sex.
Yeah, I recently asked on Instagram stories, I asked the question, if you were to set up the intimacy lifestyle for your marriage, how would you structure it? Or if you've set it up, what do you do? And the answers were, you know, all over the place. 2 times a week, scheduled, planned, anticipated. We keep lube in every room, so we're always ready to go.
Go Uber lube.
We started our marriage with the mindset that sex is always on the table.
Mm.
We focus on enjoying sex instead of making it feel like a job.
Mm.
We started talking about early in our marriage, 2 to 3 times per week for us, and variety is the spice of life. You know, couples do it where they're alternating weeks. I mean, over the years, we've heard this where couples will alternate weeks who's in charge of initiating, right? So it's not just a set like, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is husband, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is wife, Saturday's off. Like, they're just like, no, I've got the odd weeks, you've got the even weeks. We've had couples who, because of their work schedules, they're home so infrequently at the same time together. Specifically, I'm thinking we had years ago, I remember getting an email from 2 paramedics, mm-hmm. and they were only ever both home in the house at the same time, like 10 days a month. And so for them, it was just like game on. Mm-hmm. Like, we know, we don't even have to discuss it. If we are both home, I'm so happy to see you. We are having sex today.
And for some of you, like this couple we are talking to, maybe it isn't the you have to initiate one time and I have to initiate the next time. Maybe it is, hey, 95% of the time I am going to initiate and we're okay with that. And there is a 5% where the other spouse may initiate and we're okay with that. Here's the thing, folks. Make it yours.
Mm-hmm.
Strengthen your sexual intimacy pillar. At the end of the day, scheduling sex, the intimacy lifestyle, doing a sex challenge, doing something that takes you out of your comfort zone, maybe trying a new position, maybe trying a toy if that's something you want to do right now, maybe adding lube to your repertoire, maybe doing a sexy massage, whatever that may be, it's strengthening your sexual intimacy pillar, which again is looking at your 6 pillars of intimacy framework and going, how are we going to do that? And if this is something you want to do and want to be consistent, like Elisa and I have for 16 years now, then you have to make it something that you are excited about doing. Because if not, then why would you do it? You're not gonna feel the passion behind it. You're not gonna have the desire to do it. And when I say desire, not a sexual desire, but just a desire as a person to wake up in the morning and go like, that's something I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it becomes a chore, and that's not what we want it to be. We want it to be something fun, exciting, something that it's extraordinary that brings the two of you closer and connected.
Yeah, we first released that episode on scheduling sex 140 in October of 2012.
Wow. 12
years ago. I just want that to sit for a minute. It was 12 years ago, 11 and a half. Our marriage has grown and your marriages have grown and we're not in the same place. So I just want to point out that, you know, what we might have espoused and directed and everything like that with maybe seemingly because of what our marriage needed, like, hey, here are going to be the hard and fast guidelines. That was our marriage back in 2012. We've come a long way and you've come along for the ride with us. And so right now it's so critical. And this is why we're revisiting this topic again, is to think about what the intimacy lifestyle could look like for the two of you. And we want to talk about that and a few of the things to consider after this break. You're probably not surprised to hear that things like stress, hormone fluctuations, and lack of sleep can affect your skin. I know I'm dealing with all of it. From dry skin to dark spots and acne, your complexion might not be where it used to be, which is totally normal. But today's sponsor, OneSkin, can help. They have a simple skincare routine that tackles skin issues like these at the cellular level. I know how many products you can have, but the simplicity of OS One Face and OS One Eye makes my life so easy. And I can tell you that the OS One Eye is making a difference on my crow's feet and under eye areas. I have 2 products, not a whole counterful of them. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code OEM at OneSkin.co. That's 15% off OneSkin.co with code OEM. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support this show and tell them we sent you. We're back. And we're talking about making your own rules when it comes to scheduling sex, your intimacy lifestyle, and how the two of you are going to be intentional about that. And it starts with having those conversations about sex, which I know some of you just were like, ah, Lisa, you just said talk about sex. I did. I did, and I will, and we will, because talking about sex is not a one and done conversation.
Nope.
Talking about initiating, talking about how you feel desired. These are conversations that get woven into the fabric of your marriage. It's not like we're going to talk about, you know, like the one comment that said we started our marriage with the mindset that sex is always on the table. And I look at that and I'm like, sweet. But you're going to have different ages and stages in your marriage. You're going to have kids. Like I was talking to a couple yesterday. They've got younger kids and they're like, Alisa, it's really hard to have sex in different rooms of the house because of the kids. I'm like, fair. You're in a season. You're in a season. That's hard. Okay. So you're not going to unless the kids aren't home.
Here's the thing. And it's interesting that this comes up at this time because Alisa and I have been living out our intimacy lifestyle for 16 years. And I would say over the last 6 months to a year, it's been a rather interesting journey for us because we've had it where one child had left, came back. The younger one is about to graduate and is still sort of here, not here. And so there was a point in time, you know, 2 years ago where honestly, we had large swaths of time where nobody was around.
Mm-hmm.
There was nobody around. It was Alisa and I. It could be morning. It could be evening. It could be any time of the day. And that has changed since June when our oldest came back and is taking his gap year. And the youngest, again, like I said, about to graduate. I mean, she's in and out a little bit more. And so we've had to change and go, okay, what does this look like for us? And Alisa and I, obviously, we have multiple conversations here with you guys and on our own. And we still hold true to our two times a week. But guess what? The old style of where we used to set it up, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday were my days. Wednesday's a day off. You know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday are her days. You know, those have sort of gone by the wayside a little bit. Mm-hmm. We don't hold steady to that. We don't hold true to like that has to be it. It's okay. Like we're okay. We know that it's two times a week. Sometimes I'm initiating both times. Sometimes it's Alisa who's initiating. Sometimes it's each of us. But we've been running this thing and doing this thing for 16 years. We have an ebb and flow. When we were on the marriage getaway, it was more like a, hey, what if we just had sex every day while we're here? And I think we did other than one day while we're there. And so we can have those conversations and we know how to ebb and flow in this. For some of you, you're still trying to work through it. So again, how are we strengthening that sexual intimacy pillar using this tool?
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's not just like we need to talk about sex. It's starting with, you know, very much like, let's have a conversation around what works for us.
That's right.
What does work? Is it one person always initiating? Does that work?
Mm-hmm.
Don't just say yes. Find out. Have the conversation. Is it having sex on the same days of the week, every week, or some kind of alternate days? Is it having a rotate? What works for you? What's the frequency? You know, we have couples in the one family, I will tell you, that are having sex every single day.
They are.
There are couples that are
having... Which is amazing to me. Like, that is just not Alisa and I. And when they tell me this stuff, and I'm like, you guys are awesome. Like, every day, every other day, we've known many of couples who are in the 200 to 250 times in a year.
Yeah, between 100 and 250. Yeah.
I mean, just, it's amazing. So, you know, what works for the two of you?
Well, and that ties into another question, and that's, you know, when it comes to what's working for us, what do we include in our definition of sexual intimacy?
Mm-hmm.
Because when that is more than just intercourse, there are a lot more ways to say yes, and you can get into a place of fewer no's. You know, how are we going to track it? We've had couples in the one family, I love this, where they have a calendar in their bedroom, and they just make sure that there are not too many gaps between the last time they had sex. And it's even color-coded. It's in the bathroom. I love it. It's color-coded, you know, pink are days that she initiates and blue are days that he initiates. And so they just, it's just a visual for them. We have other couples, you guys, in the one family that have like full-on spreadsheets, all documented, everything that's going on. We've seen them. It's fabulous. Because that's what works for them. Other couples where like the tracking thing would be like, yeah, we're going to do this for like a day. And then it's like, yeah, it's too much work. Because it doesn't work for them.
Mm-hmm. It's just, and it's an interesting thing because that's Alisa and I. we don't have any tracking. She does a little bit, and you have your journal where you're writing stuff in.
Yeah, my 5-year journal. I do have a little coded there.
She has a little something in there, because if I come up and I'm like, I feel like we haven't really been having sex that much this month or something, she'll go back and she'll be like, well, actually, Tony, we've already had sex 8 times this month. And I'm like, oh, really? We have? Okay.
So for all my trackers out there.
Alisa does have a tracking mechanism that she is
using. It's
very simple. I don't have one at all. We don't have anything set up personally. For us, we know, and typically for most times, most of the weeks, I know where we're at. But there are just times, you know, when you just feel a little off and you're just like, man, I'm just not feeling like we're on schedule. And mm-hmm. So Alisa will be like, oh, yeah, we are. So it just depends on where you are when it comes to that sort of tracking. One of you may be all in on it. The other is sort of like, eh, it's cool. Like, maybe both of you are in on it. Like with the calendar, it's just, it's right there. It's in a visible location where mm-hmm. both of you have the ability to go, oh, where are we right now? And what are we doing? If that's where you guys are, cool. Maybe it's a little more discreet. Maybe it's, you know, behind some clothes in your closet because you don't want the children to see it. You know, it's where you both feel comfortable.
Yeah. When you think about what works or what you want to build into, you know, making your own rules when it comes to scheduling sex, like couples talk about initiating, you guys, they have conversations around it. Mm-hmm. You know, is it one of those situations where you're like, you know what? We're actually really good if one spouse is always the one to initiate because the other one's always going to say yes. If that's you guys, run
Lock
with
on.
It. It's yeah. good. It's good. Other couples, you know, have decided that they're going to take turns every time they initiate. Why? Because that works for them. Mm-hmm. They like having both of them initiate and seeing how their spouse is going to initiate. I mentioned earlier, some couples, you know, just alternate by weeks. Like every time we have sex this week, I'm going to be the one to initiate. Next week, it's going to be you. Or there are couples that are like, hey, we know our sexual intimacy pillar is important. We're open to whoever's going to initiate. We know we're going to have sex X number of times a week because we've talked about that. And it doesn't matter who initiates. We're going to be good.
And there are some, hey, our secondborns, that is a little funny
it's an
joke.
Inside joke.
A little funny joke.
Tony and I are both firstborns, in case anybody was wondering.
We're firstborn, so we tend to be a little more structured, I feel like, when talking to our secondborn friends. This may not be for you at all. Like, everything we're talking about here, you're just like, nope, not us. Like, we love flying by the seat of our pants, and we know we're good. Like, it's just a rhythm that we're in, and to set something like this up would honestly disrupt that rhythm. And trying to figure out all the little intricate like pieces that Alisa and I look at and many of you have just doesn't work at all. Guess what? You still have an internal knowing because you guys have had the discussion mm-hmm. about it. That's a key point. Your emotional intimacy is still key here in knowing you've had the discussion to go like, we're good like that. Are we running? Yes. Maybe one of you is all for it. One of you isn't. Okay. Well, what's the discussions we're going to have? Because then it allows us to, again, strengthen our sexual intimacy pillar.
Because at the end of the day, we want the two of you to have a strong sexual intimacy pillar. We want you to be in this place where, like, if either one of you were asked individually and away from the other person, hey, how, like on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the best, how would you rate that pillar? And if you were like an 8, 9, or 10, like high five. And you both said essentially the same thing. The challenge comes when these conversations aren't happening, when the two of you haven't made your own rules.
Yeah, yep.
And I sit across from those couples and one will be like, yeah, we're good. And the other one's like, yeah, not really so much.
There's a disconnect.
Total disconnect. And I love that all of you in the One Family, that you will reach out with these questions, that you'll have these conversations with us when we happen to be out having lunch or doing something together. And you're like, but what about this? Because it gives us an opportunity to say, you know what? One, don't be us.
Mm-hmm.
Be you. Create your own extraordinary marriage. But it also allows us to have the conversation completely and together and to say, you know what? If it's strong and the two of you have figured out how to make this pillar strong, keep doing what you're doing.
That's right.
Keep doing it. Because when this pillar, just like when any of the other five are strong, your marriage is shifting into a different place. It's becoming that marriage that other people look at and they're like, what do you do? Like, why do you guys look like you like each other? I mean, that was the thing when we were, and it just made me think of this comment that I made when we were in Cancun, because I remember being in the conference center and I remember looking at all these couples. And I mean, we're at an all-inclusive in Mexico this year, right? So there are 20-somethings, there are dating couples, there's everything there, right? And I remember looking at this room full of One Extraordinary Marriage couples. And I said, all of us should actually be having the best sex on this resort.
Yep.
Like, we're talking about it, we're having conversations about it. Please don't let the single 20-somethings that are here be having better sex than the rest of us. Because the one family understands why strength in this pillar and the other five is important. Mm-hmm. And so as the two of you this week start to figure out what contributes to strength in the sexual intimacy pillar for us? What are the rules that work for us?
Yeah, I love it. You know, as Elisa said, this is your week to go step into and look at what is the strength we have in our sexual intimacy pillar and all of our pillars. And I would, as Elisa was talking and she said something that really hit me, this week, take a moment to look at all six of your pillars and rate them from 1 to 10. Mm. And just look at them and go, which ones do we need to address this week? I know we've been talking about sexual intimacy, but you can look at what we talked about here and apply it to any of the pillars of intimacy. So take this week and just look at them and go, okay, where are we strong? Where do we have cracks? Where are we stepping into? Where are we going to be intentional? And where are we going to take action so we can have the extraordinary marriage we desire? You guys go live your extraordinary lives. You are two amazing human beings. You have an amazing marriage. Make it your own. Shine. Shine for who you are and who God has made you to be. You guys, we're truly honored and blessed to have you part of the One family and to have you part of our lives. Love you guys.